All right. We're going to talk about transformation. We talked a bit about it last week. We actually talked quite a bit about it last week. And that's what it's all about. Do you remember the transformation that took part in your life, took place in your life when you came to Christ? Do you remember that? Maybe it, for some of you, it's not that long ago. For some of us, it's like 40 years ago. But do you remember the difference that when you allowed Christ to come into your life and take your life, how it transformed you from who you were to who you are now? And then it's a process. It's a process of transformation. And so I just want to encourage you in this. We're going to look at somebody that everybody knows in the Bible, Peter. How many people, when you think of Peter, can relate to him? I know I can, yeah. And you know why? Because we always think about the stuff Peter failed in, and we go, oh, yeah, I can relate to you, Peter. But there's a lot of stuff that Peter succeeded in after that transformation, all right? And that's the key for us today. Is this okay, this working now? So follow me in Acts chapter 2, and appreciate everybody that's up in the sound booth right now. You're working really hard. We got live feed here into our nursery and into our mother's room, and also with the screens up here. So it's kind of a process, and if you'll just kind of all bear with us, we'll get through this, and it'll be really good one day. It's just going to happen that way. So in verse 14 of chapter 2, and this, the kind of the bit of the history going into this was that, you know, God had said to the disciples, I want you to go. He said to 500 of them, I want you to go and stay in the upper room. And 120 went. And they stayed there for 10 days after Jesus told them this. And really, it was actually 40 days after Jesus rose from the grave. And then there's another 10 days that they stayed there. So Jesus spoke to them. He appeared to them. He appeared to quite a few people over those 40 days. And so then on the 50th day, which is Penta, okay, that's why we get Pentecostal. That's why we get Pentateuch. That's when we get all the, this means five. It means actually 50. And so on the 50th day, we know that when they were all together and they were getting along for 10 days, 120 people in the upper room. I think that's pretty cool right there. Without Jesus and without the Holy Spirit. You think about that? They're still getting along because they were expecting something to come. They didn't know what it was. We know what it was because we get to read the book, right? But they didn't know what it was. They didn't know that the Holy Spirit was going to descend upon them and it was going to be phenomenal. And so it did. It just like blew the doors open. Boom, like a mighty rushing wind. I remember watching a video on transformation, and some of you may have seen it, in the underground church in China, where you could hear just like a train going through the prayer meeting night. Literally, it was just loud. It was the Holy Spirit going through, just like it did on the day of Pentecost. This stuff happens still today. And I expect it to happen in our lives, here, even in North America, where we're a bit reserved. And so this blew through the upper room. And then if it wasn't enough, then the Holy Spirit, just like tongues of fire, bounced off of people's heads. And so there's this visual and this audio expression of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I don't know how long the tongues of fire stayed there. I don't know how long the noise came through, but you can imagine if you were there, you could try to imagine what would that be like? What would that be like to be in that experience? And what happened then is they all began to speak in tongues. And please don't get me wrong that tongues is the answer. Tongues is an expression of what God has done in your life. And he wants to use that so that you can be closer to him and develop. And he also wants to use that sometimes in a word from the congregation where there's a tongues and an interpretation of tongues. There's also a prayer language, a heavenly prayer language that talks about just edifying yourself. And so you'll probably hear me up here when I'm praising and worshiping God, speaking in tongues. That's That's an expression that I have in my prayer language. I do that all the time. Elaine knows that. I'll be singing for my devotions, and I'm singing kind of along in tongues. Now, I don't know what they mean, but what I'm doing is just allowing the Holy Spirit to just minister to me, and I can minister to him through those words that I don't even know how to express. So this leaves us at this place where Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. These people are not drunk as you suppose, because they said, oh, look. And really, they looked like it was just a big party. I live in a neighborhood where we have some big parties. And they're just going all night long, and that's fine with me. I've been at some of those all-nighters. Really, I have. Before God transformed my life and transformed Elaine's life, we would go to all-night parties and then go to work. We were just wild and crazy and enjoying all. Well, we weren't. You know, honestly, I was enjoying it because I didn't know any different. And this is what happened, is it looked like 120 people just went off the rocker, basically, up in the, and so they made a whole bunch of noise. There's probably a million, maybe a million and a half people in Jerusalem at that time to come and worship. And so now, all of a sudden, a nightclub was just a little bit raucous. That's what it was. It was like, okay, what's the bouncers aren't doing what they're supposed to do. These people are shouting and screaming out praises to God. And you know what they're doing? They were saying it in languages that they didn't even know. They were saying it in languages that changed the whole thing, because everybody there listened and said, what are these guys? These are uneducated people. They don't know how to speak these languages. What's going on? Power of God. Power of God. And you know what it was? It wasn't saying, you know, my name's Jim Caruso, hallelujah, in some other language. It was Jesus Christ is Lord, and he died for your sins. And they were going, I never heard this before, and especially I never heard it in my language. So they're not drunk. Now, when I read this, come on, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, you didn't run with my crew then, because we could be drunk right through. 9 o'clock in the morning, we'd just be eating bacon and eggs and starting all over again. So it to me, this 9 o'clock in the morning, but to religious people, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And Peter changed from the guy he was before, and we'll look at that, says this. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. They knew the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Isn't that exciting? Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So as I said before, guys like me, no more visions, just dreams. And that's because we probably sleep more than we did when we were younger. I don't know. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. I will show them wonders in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below, and the blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, there's been some interesting phenomena that has taken place. And there's a bunch of people in the Christian world that jump on this and see a blood moon. It could be from a forest fire. Okay? And they go like, okay, write a book. Let's go on circuit. This is it. We're done. Christ is coming back really soon. It's going to be far more than phenomenal when we see it. It's not going to be something that we can even figure out. And that's what we like to do. So be careful when you're listening to somebody who's talking about all these, the wonders that are going to be, the signs on the earth below and all this kind of stuff. Be careful that you don't get caught up in somebody else's theology. Get caught up in God's theology. Please understand this, because there's a lot of people, even the elect, will be deceived in the end times. You don't want to be chasing after signs and wonders. You want to be chasing after God. You want to chase after the one who gives the gifts. You want to chase after, you want him to be leading you. Please don't get caught up in Christian celebrity stuff, because it'll just destroy your walk with Christ. Get caught up in Christ. Just hang out with him. Find yourself in a closet somewhere talking to him. And then this is Peter, who didn't have very much courage. And we'll talk about that in a minute. He said, listen, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus the Nazarene was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. That's a great sermon, isn't it? How many people would love to stay for that sermon? You know what? All of you had a hand in driving nails in Jesus and hanging him on the cross. It was you, but it was God's perfect plan. Actually, it was us, because it was our sin that it actually held him there. And he destroyed that sin. But God raised him from the dead. Aren't you excited about that? He's risen. That's just not an Easter thing. He's risen. He's risen today. He's risen. He lives inside of you. He's alive. And if he's alive inside of you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will give life to your mortal body. Have you ever met anybody without hope and without life? They just kind of exist. There's no joy. There's no hope. We have all of that. We have a living hope. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it's impossible for death to keep him, to keep his hold on him. You know, I love that picture, Jesus in the tomb. And the devil thinking, got him. Got him, he's done. The Savior of the world is dead, laying on a piece of ice-cold granite. And Jesus was just resting. He was just resting because he's going to blow those doors open. Well, literally the stone. He's going to come out of that grave. I always love the commentator who said, yeah, he didn't buy his own grave because he was only going to rent it. He's only going to be there 3 days so that you don't need one. He was coming out of that grave. He went into that grave knowing he's coming out of that grave because he's God. You need to know that because of him dying on the cross for your sins, you can walk out of that grave. There's a song on 106.5, but come bursting out of the grave. You set me out of the grave. I came running out of the grave. I mean, look at Lazarus. He came running out of the grave. If you want to understand what Christ has done in your life, you need to understand that you came running out of the grave. You came running out of the grave. The grave cannot hold you. Death cannot fit you. There should be no fear of death. The sting of death is gone, because Jesus died on the cross so that we could be free. And that's beautiful, because a lot of people fear death. Now, do I want to die and go to heaven right now? I'm reading a book on heaven by Randy Alcorn, and it's awesome, and I'm really excited about it, but I really like living. I like life. I like what God is doing. So we're going to be in heaven for a long time. It's not that I'm avoiding going to heaven, but I want to stay here and see what God's doing and what he can use me to do. I like life. I love my family. I love being a pastor here. I love traveling. I love all this kind of stuff. And so I believe that one day Christ is coming back, or one day I'm going to meet him. I mean, that's the two options we have. God raised him from the dead, freeing from the agony of death, because it is impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Do you like that? There's no way that Jesus' bones will ever be found. And I know around Easter we'll have another movie. Well, we found the bones of Jesus Christ. No, you never. You will not find the bones of Jesus Christ, because he's not in the grave anymore. And the shroud of Turin or the shroud of whatever, it may or may not be, but it doesn't matter. He doesn't need the shroud of death anymore. He's got the cloaks of life. So don't get hung up on if you get a chance to go see the shroud of Turin or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. I think it'd be kind of cool if that was it, but there's also you know how many splinters of the cross of Jesus Christ? Somebody did a study one time. Then they sell them. They sell splinters from the cross, the original cross of Jesus Christ. There's enough to build a hotel and furnish it with all wooden furniture. One cross. My understanding, that wasn't that big. Don't get caught up in the things of Christ. Get caught up in Christ. Don't get caught up in seeing Christ's face in a piece of toast. Yes? Yes, I have it on my phone. A piece of toast. It's not Christ's face. It's some way you buttered it. I don't know. Maybe too much peanut butter, not enough jam. I don't know what it is. But it's not the face of Christ. The face of Christ is looking at you in the mirror. You hear that? That's the face of Christ. Everyone in here represents the face of Christ. Don't get caught up in that stuff, because that doesn't bring glory to God. But you know what? Knowing him and allowing his Holy Spirit to move in your life brings glory. So let's look at Peter. Now, we saw Peter, and he's pretty powerful at this point. Peter wasn't always that way. Peter hung out with Jesus for 3 years. I think that would be cool. But Peter was, he kind of had a hair trigger. He didn't think before he spoke, and I understand that piece. Sometimes, have you ever said something when you wish you could just vacuum those words back in and nobody would have heard them? It's just like you say it and you go, or, you know, now today it's emails. Punch, and you go, oh no. Everybody gets that. I didn't mean to say that. Or with autocorrect, that's a beauty. That's a beauty. One time I had a virus in my computer, and it was really quite interesting, because it went into all my sermons and picked out pieces of randomly out of my sermons and sent it to everybody on my email list. And I sent actually to a friend of mine, but this machine did, sent a piece that talked about tithing, that he should tithe. And he phoned me right away and he goes, "What are you saying?" Like, I said, "I don't know, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, I just got an email from you. It said that I should tithe." I said, "Well, maybe you should." Like, if you're convicted, you should. If you're not, then it's okay. But it went all over the place, and it was this virus that did all this. So let's look at Peter. Matthew 16, verse 13 says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who am I?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist." Now, John the Baptist was dead at this time, so resurrected John the Baptist. And then they went into another, maybe you're Elijah. Or maybe some others were saying, maybe Jeremiah or one of the prophets, because like that's who you represent to us. So we don't know. Like, you're kind of special, like supernatural, so maybe you're just an incarnation. And so that's what everybody else was saying. Isn't that better? I have a friend who says this, and that's actually, you don't have that friend. You just need that friend to be able to say what you think, right? Have you ever done that? Those are imaginary friends. You should get rid of them, okay? Oh, okay. Okay. Daniel's mom, Benzie, needs to go to the children's ministries. Can you do that? wherever you might be. Benzi, yes. All right. We haven't got the marquee on there. This is just a lack of technology day. But anyways, so Jesus said to his disciples, says, who do you say that I am? Not anybody else, but who do you say? I don't know whether Peter was the first guy to pipe up and say, well, of course you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And I think that's what I like about Peter. And Jesus encouraged him. He said, blessed are you, son of Barjona, or son of Jonah, which is Barjona. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not overcome it. What a thing. Just pick somebody out and just say, okay, you know what? I'm going to build my church on you. That's not the way the translation is. I'm going to build my church on the faith that you have, believing that I'm the Son of God. Not that you are the rock upon which I will build my church. Peter was not. Peter was not the first pope, and there's not apostolic succession through the papacy all the way to today. It is not true. There was no pope. The idea is that Christ developed and established his church on faith in him. So whether you're Anglican or you're Catholic or you're Pentecostal, you're Presbyterian or you're Baptist or whatever you are, the bottom line to be a part of his church is that you believe that Jesus Christ lived and died for your sins. And that he is Lord of all. He's Lord above all. That's the key. All right? And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Because there's a whole bunch of things about timing here. But he gave Peter and his disciples the keys. You know what he did, and what I understand from that is that now we as disciples, as followers of Christ, have that same authority. It talks about that later on in the Gospels. We all have that same authority. And we can bind things that are in heaven. We can bind things on the earth with the same kind of power. We can. You, all of you here, some of you might not, well, no, that's only for the spiritual people here. You're all spiritual if you know Jesus Christ. You're all at the same level of spirituality. Some maybe have some more experience than others, but you have that level of spirituality because you have that level of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in you. And I hope you can grasp that and not say that, no, that's not for me. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised up. So he's telling them about prophetically what's going to happen. Guess what? Peter took Jesus aside. Don't you like that? Come here, God. Just you and I. I got something to tell you. Leave the boys over there. This will never happen. So just so you know. Have you ever talked to God and said, you got it wrong, bud. This is not going to happen. You're not going to die. And so just after saying to Peter, you are blessed because God's revealed to you that I am the Son of the living God. He says, probably within the next few minutes, he says, well, they were over there, I'm sure, get behind me, Satan. Whew. What? Would that knock the wind out of your sails? Would that deflate your balloon? Would that just knock you down right onto the ground? You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind of concerns of God, but merely the human concerns. And I understand that. I understand compassion and sympathy and empathy and all that kind of stuff. Jesus, I don't want you to suffer. You don't need to suffer. You're a good man. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't even think this way, because that's not going to happen. But Jesus had the work of the Father on his focus and on his radar. It wasn't about him being popular, loved, or cared for by his disciples. It was that he wanted to fulfill the work of the Father. And that work was to destroy the enemy. Therefore, it says in Romans chapter 12, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Is that easy to do? We get caught up and we're of this world, but we're not in this world. This is not our home. We're going home, but we live here. And I'll tell you, the way that our culture is, and I'm talking about our culture here in North America, our culture here in British Columbia, our culture here in Richmond, there is a lot of pressure to be very culturally sensitive and still try to walk with Christ. And I'll tell you, the culture is very strong, and it's getting stronger, and it's leaving Christ out all the more, all the time. Do not conform. Don't be pulled in. Don't change your life back to the way it was. Do not do that. But be transformed. Changed. Changed. That's what it is. By the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? Well, you do it with this. And you can do it with this, because this has 150 translations. This is just one. You can do it whatever the scriptures say to do it. And you need to be into these. And if you don't like reading the Bible by yourself, just push that little icon that says speaker, and you can have somebody who has an automated voice or a nice voice, or you can have somebody that has a very sleepy type voice, and you can get some sleep because they're... I can't handle that part unless I'm really tired or I can't sleep. I like somebody who's animated. I like somebody who got, you know, just... And so there is that type, okay? That's the different people. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. You want to be in God's will. Now, there's all sorts of ideas about God's permissive will and God's perfect will. And so then you kind of get into that, you know, like, am I in his permissive will or am I his perfect? Don't even worry about permissive or perfect. Get into his will. All right? Hang out with him. Find out what he wants you to do. And it'll change your life. You might think you want to do something and he's been talking to you about doing something else. You might have to lay everything down and die to yourself, so that he can live in you. He might say, I've been grooming you for a long time in this particular area. So I want you now to go. This morning, Pastor Randy and the team, if you'd come. This morning, are you transformed? The whole book of Acts is about transformation. We talked about Paul last week. Talked about Peter this week. We can talk about a lot of different people and the power of transformation. But what about you? Are you transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Maybe you don't even know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't, let him transform you this morning. From death to life. That's what it is. From hopelessness to hope. To no purpose or self-purpose, to his purpose. From eternal life in damnation, away from God, to life with blessings and glory in his presence forever and ever and ever. Amen. I don't know where you are this morning. Some of you have walked with Christ for a long time, but you just don't feel that. You need to be open and willing to let God transform you right now. Just into that place where he can use you, where he wants to bless you. It's not a conditional thing. He just wants to bless you. And maybe, like I said, you have never made that decision for Christ, and so that's really important. So we're just going to open these altars just for a few minutes. I want you to come, if the prayer team would come, and we're going to just spend a few minutes in prayer. If you need transformation in your life, and please, this isn't, you know, I want to see what kind of response every Sunday from my congregation, because that kind of builds my ego. I'm not interested in my ego at all. I'm interested in where you are with Christ. Because you're going to live your life aside from me. I just get to come in, minister to you once in a while. You need to live your life with Christ, and you need to be transformed into his presence. Not by the renewing of your mind through this, through worship, through hanging out together, having communion with one another, go on mission trips or focus on something that God has. Maybe go to Bible college. I don't know what God is speaking to your heart about, but I'll tell you something right now. If you will let him transform you from where you are right now to where he wants you to be, you will live a life that is so full and so exciting. You won't want to go home to heaven. You want to get caught doing something for him when he comes back for his church. You won't be looking around for blood moons and on it goes. Those will happen. And when they do, we'll know that it's that. But don't let somebody create that for you. Listen to him. I want you to stand. Prayer team, if you'd come, pastors, come up here and then if you need transformation in your life, if it's salvation, then I want you to come for salvation. Just make your way up right now. Pastor Randy, if you'd do this with your team. Thank you.